Hi, Alex. It's Dharma.
Hi.
So I think we're good to go.
Hey, very good.
So I guess just so you know, I think I explained this, that this is like a part research project, part media project, that I might be using this for my master's work at school. So did you have any questions about that?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, cool. All right. If there's anything that I have a consent form that mostly I've been doing because I did every other interview in person. But the main thing is that if there's anything that you want off the record or that you don't want me to say, then just let me know.
Okay.
Okay. So what name do you go by?
Alex. Hi.
Alex. Okay. And your age, roughly?
36.
Okay. We'll call you female. What's your occupation?
I'm a media director. I work for an advertising agency.
Whereabouts?
Down in Manhattan.
Oh, okay. So are you a part-time resident up here?
No, I live up here full-time. I work from home, and I go into the city a couple days a week.
Okay. And how long have you been doing that?
About 15 years.
Okay. And where is home?
Coxsackie, New York.
Coxsackie. Okay. So tell me about, the thing I've been asking folks about is kind of sharing information during the flood, and I understand that you have an organization called Neighbors Helping Neighbors.
Yes.
Did that get started during the emergency, or did that exist before?
Nope. I set up the Facebook page the day after the flood.
Okay. So it started as a Facebook page?
Yeah.
So can you assume I don't know anything about it. Tell me how you got started and what it is.
Sure. I don't really pretend that it's anything that it's not. It's really just me and, you know, my family and friends that volunteer, and I also have a network of other flood aid volunteers that I work with. My day-to-day job and knowledge is in media and social media, so the day after the flood, I was just kind of thinking of ways that I could help, and, I know social media, and I knew I could leverage people online to help. So I started the Facebook page mainly as a resource for people who needed anything to be able to go and post stuff that they needed, and then people who had things to offer could respond. The first day that the Facebook page was up, I had people meeting throughout the county exchanging goods. Mm-hmm. So it took off really fast. And, within the first day or two, someone had posted about needing laundry service up there because everybody, they didn't have electricity and all of their clothes were saturated in mud. And so I worked with a local laundromat and started up that service where we went up and down the mountain washing clothes for people. And from there, it just kind of evolved really quickly, between meeting people and knowing the needs up there and wanting to help. We did a collection of Christmas gifts, and we had a Christmas party up in Prattsville for people. And then I did a prom dress drive in the spring, and we gave out prom dresses for actually all girls, not just flood victims, in the county. And, now I'm just working with flood families kind of trying to raise money and fulfill household needs that they need.
So it took off really fast, you said, and you said it was mostly it starts just kind of it's your personal network of friends and family.
When I had a real need for volunteers. I leveraged my personal network, but, as far as posting on the Facebook page about things that were needed, you know, money or household items. For lack of a, the viralness of the site took off really quick. I mean, I had people from New York City, up in Albany, up in Canada, contacting me that they wanted to send money or clothes or furniture. So, yeah, I mean, within the first week, we had several hundred, maybe even, I don't remember when we hit 1,000 fans on the Facebook page. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was really just a way for people within and outside the county to stay up to date with what was going on with the flood and what the needs were of the people who were affected.
So, Alex, a number of people that I interviewed mentioned you as Neighbors Helping Neighbors as a good source of information for what was going on and where help was needed. What kind of relationships did you have in terms of sharing information? Were you just using the Facebook page, or did you have other means that you were using?
It was primarily through the Facebook page. I also developed a relationship with Jay Fink at WRIP, the radio station up on the mountaintop. Mm-hmm. And you know, he would share stuff on their Facebook page, and he would also put stuff on air for me. Mm-hmm. If I was looking for volunteers or donations, or if I had, you know, something going on that people could attend. Mm-hmm. And I also, probably within a month or two of the flood, started a created website as well for Neighbors Helping Neighbors. And I kind of went back and forth as to whether, you know, I really wanted to make it, you know, a nonprofit organization, you know, become a 501c3 and all that stuff. And, mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I have just decided to work on my own kind of mm-hmm. as a flooded volunteer. Mm-hmm.
How did you develop the relationship with Jay?
It was really all through Facebook. Mm-hmm. Almost all of my connections came through Facebook, and then, I expanded to Twitter, and you know, some different groups picked up the posts on Twitter mm-hmm. and fed them, you know, around. But pretty much everyone I've met has been through Facebook.
Mm-hmm. So did you ever? So when you say it was through Facebook, you mean that the actual messages back and forth, you weren't, like, talking to Jay on the phone or anything like that? Like, you made contact
with
Facebook?
I made contact with him initially on Facebook, but we spoke on the phone several times. And, you know, mm-hmm. obviously I was up on the mountain a lot, delivering items and talking and helping people there as well. So, I certainly did meet people face-to-face and talk to them face-to-face and on the phone. But the majority of the work I did as far as getting the word out about what was needed and events was through Facebook.
What's the arc then? You're out there delivering some things today to people, so you're still in volunteer mode?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's certainly calmed down, but there's, you know, still a lot of families that don't have homes, whose homes are still being rebuilt and repaired. Some people are just starting to move back into their homes, so they need, you know, furniture. They've been staying with friends for the past year or family, mm-hmm. and, you know, kind of starting over. So I'm bringing up a carload of lamps and towels and space heaters and stuff, and I also have some cash donations as well mm-hmm. to give to a family.
Has it, you said, did you actually, are you still doing the website? Doing that?
Yeah. The website's up. You know, I update it as needed. But almost all my communication is through Facebook. So that's where people respond to the needs.
Mm-hmm. And what, And can you explain to me what's the advantage of having the website and the Twitter and the Facebook? What do they do how do they complement each other?
Well, I mean, Facebook is just a way to speak with people daily. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, most people just have their Facebook pages open all the time, and they scroll through their news feeds, and, you know, they can view your posts. Obviously, the sharing aspect, you know, a request can be passed on and on and on to, you know, somebody halfway across the country who wants to send money or donate items. And, you know, Twitter's just a little bit of a different audience. You know, everything I post to Facebook, I post to Twitter as well, and I've noticed that it's a different group of people who pick up the posts through Twitter. So I'm actually just reaching a larger, different audience by, you know, expanding to Twitter as well. Mm-hmm. And the Facebook page, or I'm sorry, the website just exists, you know, for basic information for people to go. You know, I keep Flood Survivor spotlights on there, and I talk about some of the people that I've been helping, all the work that I've done. It kind of legitimizes what I do a little bit and makes people feel maybe a little more comfortable in writing a check or giving me stuff when, you know, I'm not a formal 501c3 and they're just kind of putting their trust in me, think, you know, that I'm going to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. So it's a combination of the fact that it's a web address, shows some investment on your part, but then you also have content on there that kind of demonstrates where the money is going and what's happening with it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Do you have any sense, could you describe to me, do you have any sense of what the difference is between the Twitter and Facebook audience?
I can't really put it into like a demographic. Mm-hmm. But I would say more business oriented type people have picked it up on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Facebook is more, you know, just a personal people, families that want to help and donate items. Mm-hmm. The posts that get picked up and shared through Twitter are generally from businesses.
Okay. And are those local businesses or are they regional or?
Most of them are local within Greene County or, mm-hmm. you know, the Capital District. Mm-hmm.
So when you think about the way that the role that Facebook played in your ability to do this work, how would you describe that role?
It is the foundation of everything I've done. It's made it all possible. You know, I mean, without the ability to reach so many people, you know, with just a small, you know, a little 5-minute post, there'd be no way that I could do it. I mean, and the ability that Facebook gives people to share and pass on information, has really been what has made it successful. Mm.
Do you have any, you know, God forbid, should something like this happen in the future, do you have any kind of wisdom that you can pass on about how to do this or what to do differently?
Good question. I'm not really sure I could do anything differently. Not that I can think of. I don't know. I mean, just, I would say the role of, you know, emergency personnel, and, you know, radio stations and media should be more involved with Facebook. as a medium to spread information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a couple weeks ago, there was, or maybe it was last week even, there was that big fire in Ghent in Columbia County.
Mm-hmm.
And there was much conflicting information on TV and on the radio, and we didn't actually get any word from our town that we were supposed to stay inside because there's a possible air quality pollution because of what was burning in this fire.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if I had, they had plenty of people that were talking about and asked, you know, where's the information, you know, it could be used in a much more substantial way to get emergency information out.
What do you think to get officials up to speed to be able to use Facebook? I mean, it sounds to me like you'd already been using it professionally as a PR person. You kind of are savvy about how to use media. Do you feel like the emergency personnel and all of the media in our area are ready to take that step?
They should be. You know, it's a medium that really can't be ignored in terms of sharing information quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's at the heart of, you know, emergency management is getting information out quickly to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a flood or an emergency situation, you know, people might not have TV, radios, internet, but someone usually always has their phone on them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, pretty much at least 50-60% of phones are smartphones and they're hooked to the internet right now on Facebook. And, you know, it's kind of become the new way to communicate.
In terms of, like, what do you see in terms of, like, what kind of information people need at this point, a year out, do you see any kind of loose ends on the information that people need and what's available?
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
And just in terms of the kind of information that people need and what information is available, do you see any loose ends at this point?
Well, I mean, the only loose ends I feel there are is that, you know, the mainstream media, TV and radio, have kind of forgotten about the flood victims. You know, I mean, with the anniversary of the flood coming up, I'm sure there'll be some sort of spotlight on it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the entire town of Prattsville, I would say at least 50% of the residents there are still displaced.
Mm-hmm.
And struggling every day with ways to make ends meet and get their homes back in order and find a place to live. And I really don't think that that's spotlighted enough right now. You know, it was kind of the initial, oh my God, you know, this is a tragedy that happened, and there's still a lot that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, partially being ignored.
Was there any other loose ends from your perspective, or?
I don't think so.
So is there anything else that you'd like to share, that you think might be important to know if you were thinking about improving communication in the next emergency, or wrapping up the communication, or doing a better job of communicating what's going on now?
I think there just needs to be more proactive work done by everyone to make people aware that this is an effective medium to disperse emergency information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the county emergency management teams were to have a larger presence on Facebook or do some media campaigns to get people to the pages now,
mm-hmm.
then when there is an emergency, people will already be set up and be in a place to receive that information.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay. Well, I think I've got all the answers to the questions I was going to ask you. Do you have anything else you want to add?
No, I think that's it.
All right. Well, thanks for your time. I'm inviting all the people that I interviewed to come to Scrivener Hollow Lodge on September 5th for lunch to hear a report back and to have a roundtable discussion with each other about flood coverage.
Okay.
And the new way that, you know, I mean, these parts, like, I think your part of the story is really interesting, that you, the work that you did, the fact that you became, that sort of out of the blue became a real resource to people through Facebook, including journalists, is a pretty interesting, it's interesting, right? It hasn't happened before, at least here. So I appreciate the opportunity to be able to try to tell that story about how useful neighbors helping neighbors has been. And I hope that you'll be able to come to the forum.
Yeah, I mean, if you could just send me an email with the information, since I'm driving, I can't really take anything down.
Yeah, I'm going to do that, but I just wanted to let you know about that, too.
Yeah, so, that sounds great.
Yeah, and then you can just RSVP me if you're going to come so I can announce who's going to be there.
Okay, very good.
Thanks so much, Alex.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.